Blog Talk Radio.
Don't move that radio dial any further, because you're at the right station at the right time and at the right place. Welcome to the biggest 3-day weekend online. You're listening to this marvelous radio show, brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. We're on live, right here, right now. So sit back, relax, and listen and enjoy.
Yes, you look very marvelous. If I had a camera right now to check all out, how's everyone doing today? How's everyone doing today? This wonderful Saturday. This is this marvelous radio show brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. You're here with the D-Man, Derek Barrett here. And I just want to say it is 92 days. That's right, 92 days to Georgia Bulldog football is back. Back on the scene, 92 more days to go. So to get back in our trend, to rouse up my, to get my Georgia Bulldog fans and all my Georgia alumni ready, here's a goodie, but oldie but goodie from our fellow UGA alumni, the late great Glisby Clark with Bulldog Bike. Yes.
Standing up here and still tell my two words to me. Making my victory from an old Georgia team. Well, everybody knows that the Bulldog comes to fight. Well, I can see the face till you see those Bulldog fights.
Person who wrote the song. I didn't even know about this, but unfortunately, Elizabeth Clark passed away about a little over a year ago. He died May 13th of last year. And it's really sad. He was only 72 years old, 72. And I was just reading an article of the story about him. And it said, this is from the Atlanta Journal and Constitution, that he was trying to try piano lessons when he was 9 years old, but soon decided he didn't need him because he couldn't read a single note of music anyway, but instead he learned how to play completely by ear. Wow. And matter of fact, his daughter, Catherine Clark Buckner of Athens, said he just sat down and taught himself. He said, that's what she said, and if he heard a song on the radio, he could knock it out in about 10 minutes. He was fantastic. In fact, he was so fantastic that when the former University of Georgia football player Herschel Walker was signed to play with the Bulldogs in 1980 when he was a freshman, which was the year they had the perfect season, the 12-0-0, when he went to win the national championship that year, the university contacted Clark to write a fight song worthy of the school's new talent. And the thing was, Mr. Clark was a UGA graduate with extended experience with advertising. And his daughter was saying that he was the university's top choice in writing the popular song Bulldog Bite, which was the song that I just previously played a few minutes ago. Said the athletic department, she added on and said that the athletic department knew he was a local phenomenon for jingles. And so he wrote it. He wrote Bulldog Bite, penned it, and composed it, and it was ready just in time for the 1980 season. And he did really, and of course, like I said, that was the year they went on to have the perfect season, 12-0-0, and went on to win the national championship, became national champions at the Sugar Bowl, beating Notre Dame. Says, the song was a fan favorite and still is a fan favorite for tailgates and parties on football Saturdays in Athens. And trust me, many times when I was going to UGA, they definitely played that song to death. And now that I didn't hate it, I loved it. Matter of fact, I think that song single-handedly made me want to go to UGA. That song and Herschel Walker made me want to go to UGA. I mean, there wasn't any other school that I even considered about going else except. There wasn't any other school that came close. It was a distant second or third. Distant second or third place, like maybe UCLA or Occidental College, or maybe even Oberlin College It was one other school that was accepted. Dartmouth. Yeah, Dartmouth. Yeah, it was either UCLA. I mean, if I can get into Georgia, I was thinking maybe UCLA or Oberlin College or Occidental College or even Dartmouth. So those were the only two I actually wanted to go to. And as I said, he died a year ago on May 13th. Of a heart attack while sleeping in his summer home in Highlands, North Carolina. He was 72 years old. His memorial service was at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church. Mr. Clark graduated from UGA with a bachelor's degree in business in 1964 before completing a year's worth of graduate study at the University of Illinois in 1965 and beginning his career with Procter & Gamble. Wow. A few years later, the family moved to Westport, Connecticut. Clark worked until the family moved back to Atlanta in 1972. Yes, he will definitely be missed. And Clark is survived by his wife for nearly 50 years, Bunny Hayward Clark of Atlanta, his daughter Catherine, another daughter Carolyn Clark of Bob's of Richmond, Virginia, and 5 grandchildren. So. Rest in peace. Even though it's a year later, rest in peace, Clisby Clark. We still miss you. Your family and your UGA alumni family does, and not myself included. I really would love to make another. I wish I would have been able to make a music video for this song. I love this song. I mean, if it wasn't for the song, it wasn't for Clinton Clark making the song Bulldog Bite and then citing Herschel Walker, I probably wouldn't even think instead of, forget about not going to UGA, I don't even think I probably would have went to college, period. You know? So, in a way, he basically want me to, Mr. Clark, in some way, guided me to go to UGA. So, I tip my hat off to you, Mr. Elizabeth Clark. May you rest in peace. And now that I got that out of the way, it's time to go into the news right now. In Wilmington, Delaware, President Barack Obama eulogizes Bo Biden earlier today, mourning a loss that touched people on Delaware street corners and far beyond. President Barack Obama on Saturday, earlier this afternoon, remembered Bo Biden, the vice president's son, as a public servant who learned through early tragedy what mattered most and resolved to, quote, live a life of meaning. He was a scion of an incredible family who brushed away the possibility of privilege for the harder, better reward of earning his own way, Obama said in a deeply personal eulogy. The president described Bo Biden as a son, father, a soldier, and a politician who didn't cut corners in his efforts to serve his country and others. The former Delaware Attorney General died a week ago of brain cancer at the age of 46. Obama reflected on the cruel twist of fate that killed Bo Biden's mother and infant sister in a car crash 4 decades ago that left 3-year-old Bo and younger brother Hunter hospitalized. Because out of that tragedy, Obama said, Bo was a very young boy, made a very grown-up decision. He would live a life of meaning. He would live a life for others. Vice President Joe Biden, who did not speak at his son's funeral, embraced Obama at the funeral start after crossing himself solemnly as he entered the church with the strains of Bring Him Home from Les Miserables. Mourners arrived at St. Anthony of Padua Roman Catholic Church in Wilmington, Delaware, Saturday, June 6th. Obama's eulogy reflected the strong bonds that Joe Biden and the president had developed after more than 6 years together in the White House. With the president declaring his family to be honorary members of the extended Biden plan. Speaking directly to the vice president and his wife, Jill, Obama said, Michelle and I thank God you're in our lives. Taking this ride with you is one of the greatest pleasures of our lives. And he added on to say that, Joe, you are my brother. Something else. Something else right there. I don't know what to tell you, man. I was just happy to be watching the funeral just a few hours ago on CNN, and it was just really, really, really moving, very moving. I never met the man, but I really have to say that. He was a very inspirational. I mean, he didn't have to go through what he went through, but I have to admit, though, it's no person should want to go through what they went through. He and his brother went through, and his dad went through with that car with the what's the word to say? It's just really, really hard to go through. I mean, just to making through the that car crash they had when they were a little kid and losing their mom and their younger sister. That's got to be heart wrenching right there. And anyway, I'll go complete this. The overflow crowd of 1,000 at St. Anthony at Padua Roman Catholic Church included Michelle Obama, Bill and Hillary Rodham Clinton, an array of state and national political figures, as well as people from across Delaware and beyond who lined up hours in advance, drawn by their strong bonds to the Biden family. Joe Biden is Delaware, and his son is also Delaware to me, said Lisa Rial, age 54, who grew up in Delaware but lives in Pennsylvania, that's synonymous with Delaware. Outside along the route to the church, residents held up signs reading Rest in Peace, Bill. The vice president's two surviving children, Hunter and Ashley, also spoke, and Coldplay lead singer Chris Martin, a favorite of Bo Biden, saying, "The meditation at the end of the service till kingdom come." Joe Biden had just been elected senator in 1972 when his wife and baby daughter were killed in a car crash. He developed a reputation over the years for possessing a deep ability to comfort those in grief. Often, Biden is called upon to eulogize fellow American leaders. Now it was Obama's moment to speak words to comfort to the vice president and his family and friends. The president described Bo Biden as very much his father's son. He says, quote, "His dad taught him everybody taught him that everybody mattered. He even looked and sounded like Joe. Although I think Joe would be the first to acknowledge that Bo was an upgrade. Joe 2.0. quote unquote, Obama said in chuckles to those in the audience. But as much as Bo reminded folks of Joe, who was very much his own man, he was an original." Let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. I apologize for the emotional reading of the news. It's just that you think of your own mortality when you hear about someone passing away, especially if they're the same age as you. Bo Biden and I were both 46 years old And he was able to survive a car crash. And he was able to live his life. He and his brother was able to marry and have their own children. I'm 46. I don't have any children. I'm an uncle of five beautiful nieces and nephews. And I would love to see my youngest niece and youngest nephew, my youngest niece, Chloe, who's three, who will turn four in September, and my nephew, Nolan, born earlier this year back in February. I would love to see them graduate from high school. And I pray if there's, by a miracle, by the grace of God, if I ever become married and have children of my own, I pray that I'll be able to have a life of meaning, be able to add substance, and not live unselfishly. Rest in peace, bye-bye. Well, of course, we have to move on. Of course, you know, today is, speaking of heroes, just want to let you all know that today, June 6th, is the 71st anniversary of D-Day. And it's 3:22 right now, 3:22 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Hope you're enjoying this really good weather. It's beautiful weather. It's 87 for our Megan Georgia listeners. It's 87 degrees outside. It's sunny. It's slightly cloudy right now. There are some clouds, but there's not any storms today. It's nice and sunny in 87 degrees outside of Macon, Georgia, with a high of 91 and a low of 68 degrees. And to round off this weekend, Sunday, tomorrow, the high will be 93 degrees and sunny and a low of 68 degrees. So please, while you can, please enjoy this lovely weather. Because in the following week, it will be raining. And enjoy while you can. Please do. Please do. 71 years ago, D-Day started, was the turning point of World War II. And the courage of the Second World War servicemen who helped rid Europe of the tyranny of the Nazis have been remembered on the 71st anniversary of D-Day today. More than 150 British veterans, now in their 80s and 90s, crossed the channel to honor the decisive blow that was struck against the Nazis on June 6, 1944. The veterans traveled to Normandy, France, to return to the beaches, cemeteries, and villages of northern France where they fought so bravely. At today's memorial service, held by the Royal British Legion of the Bayeux Cathedral, servicemen shoulder to shoulder, 71 years after the Allied forces launched a combined naval, air, and land assault on Nazi-occupied Europe. Bayeux was the first town to be liberated from Nazi occupation following the D-Day landings. The Reverend Patrick Irwin, the Royal British Legion Chamberlain to Normandy, told gathered troops that we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. He added that the servicemen showed courage in the face of a resilient and well-equipped enemy, but they had trust in their comrades. It was trust in their mates that really mattered. This trust bound men on the beaches of Normandy, and it binds men together still. He added on, it says, your historic achievements will remain as one of the most defining moments in the history of the last century. It is for successive generations not to betray this trust, quote unquote. Sir Peter Ricketts, British ambassador to France, gave a reading ahead of an exhortation by Lieutenant Colonel David Wimpenny of the Royal British Legion, featuring some of the best-known words of the war. Taken from Lawrence Binion's poem, For the Fallen, he read, "They shall grow not old as we are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them." Inside the cathedral was British D-Day veteran Victor McKenzie, age 91, who was just 20 years old, when he served in the Royal Army Service Corps on D-Day. As the bells tolled for the following of the service, Miss McKenzie of North Wales, Essex, England, said, "It is always very honorable, it really is. You have to think of those who never came back. It's with you every day. It's one of those things. Coming back to the stage brings back so many memories. It's for a lot of veterans who came here from the key moments of their lives." There were 156 Allied troops, 156,000 Allied troops landed on Normandy Beach. Normandy Beach. Back in June 6, 1944, the Normandy landings, also known as Operation Overlord, were the landing operations of the Allied invasion of Normandy. The assault was conducted in two phases: an airborne assault landing of 24,000 British, American, Canadian, and Free French airborne troops shortly after midnight, and an amphibious landing of Allied infantry and armored divisions on the coast of France commencing at 6:30 a.m. The operation was the largest amphibious invasion in world history, with over 160,000 troops landing on 6th of June 1944 and 195,700 Allied naval and merchant navy personnel and over 5,000 ships were involved. The landings took place along a 50-mile stretch of Normandy coast, divided into five sectors: Utah, Omaha, Bold, Juneau, and Sword beaches. The landings were chaotic, with boats arriving at the wrong point and others getting difficulties into the water. Troops managed only to gain a small foothold on the beach, but they built on their initial breakthroughs in the coming days, and a harbor was open at Omaha. They met strong resistance from the German forces who were stationed at one point along the coastline. Approximately 10,000 Allies were injured or killed. 6,603 American, of which 2,499 were killed. 2,700 British soldiers, 1,000 over 1,000 Canadians, of which 359 were fatal. Between 4,000 and 9,000 German troops were killed, and it proved the pivotal moment of the war. Thank you to all the veterans who were still alive. We thank you for your bravery and your courage. And just want to let you all know that. Just want to let you know that. And speaking of which, before we finish, I just want to give out a birthday shout-out to a Facebook friend of mine, Cornelius J. Jackson. I know in case you're listening, I hope you have a wonderful birthday today, and I hope you keep on listening to my show, to a radio show. It's Marlon's radio show on Blog Talk Radio. I hope you get a chance to, if you get a chance to spread the word, please do. Please do. The more, the merrier. If you happen to know any businesses that would like to advertise on the show, please do. Please don't hesitate to give me a call at 478-731-1926 or call Marvella Ivory at 478-228-3715. You can email the It's Marvelous Radio Show at It's Marvelous Radio Show with two L's all run together at gmail.com. You can tweet me at bbarrett478. So just want to let you all know that. But one more thing before we go. I also want to let you know, since it is June, it's definitely hurricane season now. Anna, which was the first name in Inuit, that was one of the deflections of the tropical depressions. I guess it's not really a, it wasn't a hurricane per se, since it started in May, but it was kind of early. But Anna was the first one of the alphabet, and speaking of which, the other names following it are totally unused names. Now, some hurricanes have female names, some have male names. Now, over recent events, most of the horrible hurricanes have been named after females. Hurricane Katrina is one. Hurricane Annie. I mean, not all of them have been females, though. You did have Hurricane Hugo back in 89, you know, hit the Carolina coast several years ago. But I'll just give out the names of the potential storm names of these hurricanes, which will have, between now and November 30th. Anna is A, so the next one will be Bill. I mean, next one will be female, male, female, male, female, girl, boy, you know. The other names are, which are unused, by the way, Bill, Claudette, Annie, Erica, Fred, Grace, Henri, which is French for Henry, Ida, Joaquin, Kate, Larry, Mindy, Nicholas, Odette, Peter, Rose, Sam, Teresa, Victor, and Wanda. Those are the names that are for the 2015 hurricane season for this year. And the major hurricanes are going to be the ones that are going to be a category listed as a Category 3 and up. So if they're a Category 3 and up, they're going to be major hurricanes. And if it, and I guess depending on how much damage it does, that name is retired. Like Hugo and Katrina and Annie, those names are definitely retired. Because, you know, like there's only one Katrina, like there's only one Darth Vader, so... Just want to let you all know that. And it looks like that's all the time that we have for right now. Just want to let you all know about tomorrow. We're going to talk about watermelon season. That's a, at least that's some. That's another happy, at least I have something happy to talk about for tomorrow, as well as some other things coming up. We have the Stanley Cup. Yeah, the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup NHL Finals coming up soon. They're still underway, still going on right now. Matter of fact, Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals will be tonight on NBC Sports, tonight with the Chicago Blackhawks playing against Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're going to be in Tampa tonight at 7:15 p.m. You can check them out on NBC, TBC, and TVA Sports, so definitely check you're listening, so more than likely to our Middle Georgia listeners, it's going to be on WMGT Channel 41 in Macon, the NBC affiliate for Macon, Georgia. Definitely check them out tonight. Also, for tomorrow, you're going to have Game 2 of the NBA Finals of the the Golden State Warriors versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, which will be Game 2, which will be tomorrow. Yes. Game 2 will be tomorrow, which will be shown on ABC. Also, in case and those who don't want to don't feel like checking out any sports this weekend. By the way, the Tony Awards will be on Sunday night, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on CBS. So those who love theater, definitely check out the Tony Awards tonight. Will be tomorrow night, excuse me, Sunday night on CBS. Will be hosted by Tony Award winner Kristen Chenoweth, a great, great singer and actress who's been on many, many shows, who won a lot of Tonys for playing the role of Sally in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and being on special several episodes on the TV show Glee. And also her co-host, Alan Cumming, who is best known right now, who's on currently on the hit show The Good Wife, which is also on CBS. So just want to let you all know about that. Anyway, be sure to keep tuned with us. Also, Keep listening to us every weekend, every Friday at 5 p.m., and every Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. On behalf of our namesake, this is Marvella Ivory, the namesake of the show. This is the D-Man, Derek Barrett here, wishing you a wonderful and marvelous Saturday. We'll see you tomorrow, 23 and a half hours from now. Take care, everyone. Have a marvelous Saturday. Oh, and happy birthday to you, Cornelius.
Cornelius J. Jackson.
Hope you have a good one today. A marvelous birthday. Later. And take care.